And welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, June 5th, 2024. A civil society delegate at the Nairobi talks says women issues should be part of the ongoing negotiations.
Women's participation is a matter that does not have to be seen in isolation. It has to be included in everything that has to do with South Sudan because women are equal stakeholders and equal citizens.
And lawmakers say the leadership of the South Sudan National Legislative Assembly has no plans for addressing the dire humanitarian conditions in the country.
They are fear maybe President can revoke them. She should put the interest of the people above. Because, you know, nation is above all of us. We are a nation is above us.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some female delegates at the South Sudan talks in Nairobi with holdout opposition groups say their voices and suggestions are respected during discussions on the root causes of the vicious cycle of violence in South Sudan. Lona Merekaje, an activist at the talks, says the discussions on the drivers of the conflict in South Sudan are held in cordial manner.
The mood is like any other negotiation. People have to talk and people have to make concessions and people have to put issues on the table. So basically that's what is happening. And we hope that through such navigated processes, we will be able to reach somewhere and bring peace to the country.
The focus at the talks is about resolving issues that are very, very close to the hearts of the holdout groups. The civil society is not a holdout group. What is the role of the civil society at the talks?
Yeah, it depends on how you want to perceive the issues, how you want to frame the issues. But I think what I would say as a civil society activist and from where I stand, the issues that are being discussed are issues that are very close to the hearts of South Sudanese. It is very important that we pay attention to the issues that are being discussed.
Let's talk about the affirmative action, 35% allocation of positions or allocations of power to women in the country. I have spoken to so many women leaders who are saying this 35% has not been respected. Are the delegates revisiting this issue?
Women's participation is a matter that does not have to be seen in isolation. It has to be included in everything that has to do with South Sudan because women are equal stakeholders and equal citizens. We are human. So it's not only that are we talking about women's issues, but first of all, where is South Sudan is in this whole conversation? And how do we want to see South Sudan moving forward? And I think that is not without women. Definitely women's interests of great importance in such conversations.
Talk to me about the engagement of civil society among themselves at the talks, because the optics we are seeing, there are some civil society groups or civil society individuals who jump the gun to make statements out there about what is happening within the talks. And when you speak to delegates at the talks, they tell you that's not what we are talking about. Are you guys working together or everybody is in their own cocoons?
Well, thank you very much. I think South Sudan is very dear to everybody who have brought themselves or who have been invited in to participate in the Tumaini process. And you clearly know that issues, national issues, can be perceived in different perspectives. Even you and me, when we sit to talk about national issues, we could be seeing things differently, and our analysis or our articulation could be different. But the bottom line, what I would like to communicate to every South Sudanese is that, number one, the authentic information that needs response is information that has been signed or information that has been initialed. That is standard practice. bit which kind of negotiation, if any document is not initialed, if any document is not signed by those in the process, please don't split hair about it. Read it as source of knowledge. If there's anything shared, if Lorna has shared her opinion, take it as Lorna's opinion, but then ask yourself as a responsible citizen, wherever you are across the divide, how good is that for the country, regardless of Lorna who is saying it. So my advice to the citizens is that let's build momentum around this process, because you never know, Tumaini could be where South Sudan is actually going to see hope and where South Sudan is actually going to get back to where we want to be. And remember, Tanza, we, some of us who are older, we still remember clearly the discourse during Liberation Days. There were three things that come to my mind every time I remember my parents. I remember generation ahead of us. It's justice, liberty, and prosperity for all. So my appeal is those here at Tumaini process, or those in country, or even you, Tanza, whichever thing that we do should be gearing South Sudan towards justice, liberty, and prosperity for all.
Yes, you have been there from the beginning of the talks and to date. If you are given an opportunity to reflect on the mood and the speed and the sincereness of the delegates, how would you describe them?
You know, I would say that it is a process, and it has all characteristics of every peace process. And peace processes do not have a particularly paved line at a particular angle. It requires consultations, it requires bringing submission, it requires sharing stakeholder opinion, but also it requires discussions in plenary. And all that is happening. And I want to say that whenever we sit to discuss about South Sudan, be it South Sudanese or people who are helping South Sudan, let's not forget the country. Let's not forget the people who are waiting. Let's not forget the over 12 million South Sudanese who are out there. We are here to represent their interests, not our personal interests.
That's Lorna Merekaje, an activist at the ongoing talks in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, between the government of South Sudan and holdout rebel groups. She spoke to me from Nairobi via Skype this past hour. Some lawmakers in the South Sudan's Transitional Legislative Assembly say the leadership of the August House is dragging its feet on urgent humanitarian matters. On Tuesday, the sitting aimed at interrogating five ministers was adjourned due to the absence of some ministers. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
South Sudan's Transitional National Legislative Assembly was thrown into disarray on Tuesday when Speaker Gemma Nunukumba announced the adjournment of the sitting because some of the summoned ministers had not appeared. The members of parliament became divided as some wanted the discussion to continue. Shanding Maror, who represents Northern Bahrel Ghazal State under the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition party, is one of the MPs who wanted the sitting to proceed. He accuses the assembly's leadership of dragging its feet on national concerns, including the worsening food security situation.
If not delay, then whoever come to the house should answer accordingly, because the ministers are ministers, but any minister have his own ministry. The minister concerned, or the minister on place, have to answer, have to tell us his own proposal, like what means of humanitarian affairs have done. Well, there will be nowhere of protecting the ministers.
On Tuesday, the Transitional National Legislative Assembly summoned the ministers of Agriculture, Trade, Finance, Petroleum and Humanitarian Affairs to appear before lawmakers to answer questions on the looming hunger in the country. Two of the five ministers failed to show up, leading Speaker Gemma Nunukumba to adjourn the sitting.
You know, these three ministries are related: agriculture, trade, petroleum, and finance. The majority of them are not here, only one. Therefore, we will be wasting time, and again, we will call them again. That's why we should just adjourn the sitting.
Nunu says the two absent ministers were out of the country on an official mission. Albino Mayuenbol, another SPLM-IO lawmaker, says the speaker was acting out of fear that President Salva Kiir will stop supporting them.
She always fear because, you know, the kind of revoking become a big issue here in Parliament. Anyone in SPLM-IG, they're not willing to tell the truth while they know the truth. Because they were revoking, they are fear maybe President can revoking them. He should put the interest of the people about. Because, you know, nation is above the, all of us, we are, a nation is above us.
Mawian and Deng say South Sudanese in the countryside are dying in silence and Parliament needs to urgently question the ministers about their plans to help them. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or UN OCHA, says 9 million people, 72% of South Sudan's population, will require humanitarian assistance this year. More than 7 million people are expected to experience severe food insecurity by July. Lino Hutu, an SPLM lawmaker, says the Transitional Legislative Assembly is committed to holding the executive accountable for addressing the humanitarian situation in the country.
The parliament has been doing very, 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 very well, including our right honorable speaker. See, this parliament, although it is an appointment, it is an appointed parliament, it is doing very well. You know, the parliament has been standing very, 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 very strong to resolve those simmering issues as far as the lives of our people are concerned.
Hutu says South Sudan should focus on agriculture to solve the worsening economic situation in the country. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Johannesburg for South African politics, where the African National Congress Party failed to win an outright majority in South Africa's recent election. This means the ANC, for the first time, will need to form a coalition of government. What will it look like and how it will affect the country's policies internally and globally? VOA's Nairobi Bureau Chief Mariama Diallo reports from Nairobi, Kenya.
South Africans say they are excited and eager to see what a coalition government is going to look like days after elections show no party won an outright majority.
Well, I'm excited because the ANC is finally going to be in a position where they have to reconsider how they've been approaching running the country and governing the country.
It's a very challenging for the ruling party. They have to think now which coalition they should do, because with DA it's something else, with EFF it's something else, with the latest MK it's also something else.
Depending on the coalitions, like if it is the DA and the ANC coalition together, the DA can actually get in and actually do some good where the ANC has failed.
The African National Congress secured 40% of the vote, followed by the Democratic Alliance with about 22%. A coalition between the two could reconcile the country, says Tendai Mbanje, election analyst.
The DA-ANC coalition promotes non-racialism. The DA-ANC coalition promotes unity in the country among two races. It could also strike balance between the competing differences in terms of addressing issues of poverty.
Other coalitions could be with the newly formed party led by former President Jacob Zuma, Umkhonto Wesizwe, or MK, which won about 15%, or the Economic Freedom Party, EFF, which won about 10% of the final vote tally. Edgar Githua is a professor at Strathmore University in Kenya. He spoke to us via Skype.
And unfortunately, Zuma has already pronounced himself on this and said he will only have a coalition with the ANC on condition that Cyril Ramaphosa is not going to be the president. Yeah. It looks like ANC, EFF, and they need someone else. They need one of the other tiny ones to help them just pretty much get to the 51% to be able to form the government comfortably.
The ANC says its leader will not resign following election results, but is open to working with everyone to form a government that will serve South Africa's people.
At this stage in time, Cyril Ramaphosa is the best foot forward for the ANC, simply because of his reputation within and globally.
While internally, governance could improve with the coalition government, South Africa's positions on global issues such as the Russia-Ukraine and Israel-Hamas wars may come into question, both Mbanje and Githua say.
How they look at the Palestinian-Hamas issue, those are some of the things that will now have to be renegotiated afresh within the coalition government, because all political parties have their manifestos, have how they want to project themselves.
South Africa has accused Israel of committing genocide in Gaza in a case they brought to the International Court of Justice. Israel argues that its ground offensive, which the Gaza Health Ministry says has killed about 36,000 Palestinians, is in response to Hamas militants' attack on Israel last year that killed 1,200 people, according to Israeli tallies. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, authorities in Eastern Equatoria State arrest gang members. Find out why after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Our words of wisdom for today comes from Central Equatoria State.
This is Ronyo Charles John again from Central Equatoria State, Juba, Kajokeji County, Kuku by Tribe. I'm coming with the second phase of a Kuku proverb, which states that Tomelo Tongo Kokoloiloin. In English, it is stating that every elephant is burdened by its task. This means that everybody has to carry his own load in order to be successful. Don't ever say that I need somebody to help me to carry my burden, but you have to carry your own task. This one is a very important proverb in our Kuku tribe. Thank you.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Authorities in the Eastern Equatorial State capital, Torit, say they have arrested 60 young men suspected to be taking part in violent attacks on residents and shops in the town. Some of the suspected gang members were sentenced to 3-year jail sentences and others were fined. For VOA News, Kaltuma Vanessa reports from Torit.
Mustafa Albino Zakaria, mayor of Torit Town Municipality, says his office has declared a state of emergency after residents complained about attacks, robbery, and looting by young men who, he says, are combing every corner of the town.
We have been arresting these people for a number of days, starting from the first group which was taken to the prison. There were 16. The second one was 12, and another one was 17, including a woman which is harboring them. All of them have been sentenced to different period of time and different punishments, because some of them has been punished by fining them. They are fined 200,000 South Sudanese pounds. Failure to do so, they are going to serve 2 years imprisonment.
Zakaria says the detained gang members, which include minors and adults, are undergoing further questioning to ascertain the motives of their action. Davidika Ikai, chairperson of a women-led nonprofit in Torit, says the move by the arrest could reduce criminal activities across the entire town.
People should move freely without fear in the town. So when you kill a person, you become a criminal. These are activities which are not acceptable in the society. Why I'm saying so? We are losing generations. In the coming years, we shall not have leaders. We are going to have only criminals in the town, which is not acceptable.
Ikai says since the young men went on rampage 2 weeks ago, Torit residents confined themselves at home in the afternoons. Hauro Elia Chiba, secretary of Monyomiji, a local community vigilant youth group, is calling on state officials to open vocational institute across the state to help young men and women gain life-saving skills.
We need to have a joint effort across the communities, like the communities, chiefs and the leaders. We need to have a joint effort. We identify them. We do some kinds of orientation for them. We orient them on the life matters that when you are continuing with this, you will not see the benefit of your life. It's better for you to leave all this thing and join other things like technical schools and, you know, some business skills. It's better.
Mayor Zakaria has also issued an order banning nightclubs in Torit town until security situation improves. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa reporting from Torit, Eastern Equatorial State.
At least 40% of the land in the world is degraded. This is according to the United Nations Environment Program, which says the problem has affected around 3.2 billion people globally due to desertification. As the international community marks World Environment Day today, the UN predicts that more than three quarters of the global population will be affected by drought by 2050. Maureen Ojiambo reports.
Millions of people globally participate annually to raise awareness and act on environmental issues aiming to protect the planet's future. Today's World Environment Day theme is land restoration, stopping desertification and building drought resilience. The United Nations Environment Program, UNEP, says human environmental destruction is on the rise, causing serious effects such as climate change, ecosystem loss, and land desertification. Inga Anderson is the executive director of the UN Environment Program.
This World Environment Day, we're asking everyone to join the global movement to restore our lands, to build drought resilience, and to combat desertification. Because land degradation and desertification affect over 3 billion people. Freshwater ecosystems are also degraded, making it harder to grow crops and to raise livestock. This disproportionately affects smallholder farmers and, of course, the rural poor. But nature is resilient.
Today, floods, heat waves, droughts, and other extreme weather events are putting people's lives and the services they rely on in danger. The UN says the world must take proactive measures to reduce the impact of environmental degradation, especially for vulnerable communities.
By restoring ecosystem, we can slow the triple planetary crisis, the crisis of climate change, the crisis of nature and biodiversity loss, including desertification, and of course, the crisis of pollution and waste. We can help to reverse biodiversity loss by 2030 in line with the global biodiversity framework.
The United Nations says 75% of the world's population will face drought by 2050. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says despite people relying on land for survival, the world is experiencing harmful pollution and climate disruption and biodiversity loss. Together, they are transforming fertile lands into deserts and thriving ecosystems into dead zones. Anderson says the UN Decade of Ecosystem Restoration backs commitments to restore 1 billion hectares of land. Already, six countries have pledged to restore 300,000 kilometers of rivers and 350 million hectares of wetlands.
Land restorations can be a golden thread that ties these together, ties together action and ambition across all these three important gatherings. So we must make this work count. I thank the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for hosting World Environment Day 2024. On this important day, I ask everyone to join Generation Restoration. Our land is our future, and we must protect it.
Ibrahim Diao is the executive secretary of the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification. He says countries should work towards restoring land and promoting resilience to drought.
At the UNCCD, the UN Convention in Charge of Land and Drought, we are championing the cause of land restoration through initiatives such as the Great Green Wall in Africa or the G20 Global Land Restoration Initiative. Through the International Drought Resilience Alliance, we promote resilience to drought. Restoring land and building drought resilience require concerted efforts and innovative solutions. It demands the integration of traditional knowledge with innovative science and technology.
According to the UN, at least 12 million hectares of land capable of producing 20 million tons of grain are lost each year, threatening global food security. For VOA Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in San Francisco.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
where do you get your health advice from?
Sometimes I get my health advice from my grandmother who is at home. When I'm sick that I can't control myself, she will help.
I get my health advice from my friend, colleague, who live together. We also know about those who have been experiencing more problems about health. They don't advise me through phone. We talk, we chat, discuss everything.
My dad, because my dad is a doctor.
I'd say I get my health advice from various places, the internet, my parents, because I have, my mother is a nurse.
My health advice, I get it on the internet. If I need something on how to deal with obesity, I get it on the internet. Anything I need pertaining to health advice is on the internet.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
That's all we packed for you this Wednesday, June 5th, 2024. We now leave you with the song Chosen One by Kebas.
Shining like a star, man, I'm already on it. Extra point escalation. I got a job for haters, what the application? All that hating shit, real motivation. I'm doing this for my nation. I'm a big boy, got a big dream, like you a girl, got a big Looking at me now, I can see my future. Missing Tabula is my nature. Man, I'm so focused, working hard for better tomorrow. Why? Man, I gotta work. So when you make it right, chosen one. So when you make it right from the bottom, yeah, you're the chosen one. Everyone is not like anyone. Anyone is not like everyone. Everyone is not like anyone. Yeah, now school, now baba baba.
Listening to Kebas and the song The Chosen One. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Jumbe Hamza, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm even left up your weather.
So when you make it right from the bottom,